While you're turning there, I'd like to read from Philippians chapter 2. But go ahead on to Revelation 4, if you would. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray once again. Lord, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for your gift, your sacrifice on the cross, and the eternal life that is ours through faith in you. For the grace of God that brought salvation to all who will trust in you. Lord, we pray that you would be exalted today in our midst. I pray, Lord, that we'd open up our hearts to you today. That if not physically and spiritually in our heart, that we would bow our knee to the one to whom we owe it all. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to praise you today, to worship you in this place with these people. Lord, may you be magnified. And if there be one here that's never been saved today, Lord, draw them to yourself, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. John, the apostle, wrote the book of Revelation, mainly concerning those things which are yet to be, future revelation. He is expressing what he has seen in a vision that God is giving him in chapter 4 here and verse 1 of what will happen in heaven someday. Revelation 4:1. And this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. Upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings upon him, about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Title of the message this morning is For Thy Pleasure, Part 1, because it's going to have a Part 2. Why are you here? Why are you here? Not just why are you at church today, but why are you here? Well, the Bible tells us why we are here. We are here for His what? For His pleasure. We are His here by His will and to bring glory to His name. I heard a message last Sunday when I couldn't come to church due to my COVID quarantine, thanks to Joshua. The message was about creation, and one of the verses he finished with was verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And as I thought on that, and it stuck with me all week long, I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle with temptation. And actually, I do know about you. You probably do too. And there are some times in our life that we do things, like Paul mentions in Romans 7, that we don't want to do. And there are things we ought to do that we don't do. And things that we ought to confess. That's why it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unwickedness. Praise God. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. And they're under the blood of Christ. But we still struggle. And it's helped me this week to remember this verse. I am here not for my pleasure. I am here for His pleasure. I am allowed this wonderful life He has given me to do His pleasure. To do His will. In the passage we read about, the redeemed in heaven represented by the 24 elders. The 24 elders you read about there, they're clothed in white raiment. That in Revelation, that is almost always indicative of the redeemed church of Jesus Christ. And so these are the redeemed in heaven that are before the throne of God. They wear crowns upon their heads because it says we'll rule and reign with Him. And crowns which they cast at His what? Crowns they cast at His feet. As the angels recite, as they do, as we read in Isaiah chapter 6, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. The 24 elders join in praise of God as they fall down before Him and they cast their crowns at His feet, crying out that He who is Lord and God alone is worthy to receive from their lips and from their heart all the glory and honor and power and dominion that He is due. He who is the Creator of all, and as we will see in Revelation 5, also the Redeemer of all. It only makes sense to use this example we see here of the worship we will one day give God in heaven to inform us as to the manner of our worship and service we should give Him here on earth today. We will be with those 24 elders, praising God before His throne, falling down before Him, casting our crowns at His feet one day. But it is His desire that we not wait till we get to heaven to worship Him. Amen? Amen. I want us to notice, first of all, the action of worship. Worship is an outward expression of a heartfelt adoration and love, which requires action. So let's look at their actions. First of all, we see that they fell down, verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before Him and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, casting their crowns before the throne. So we see they fall down before Him and they cast their crowns, a sign of humility. As we read one day, as we read from Philippians 2, or I read, one day we will all fall on our knees before Jesus and confess that He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Why does it mention here? Why does it mention there? Why do we sing the song a minute ago, bow the knee? Why did they do it? Why should we do it? To show respect. It is a sign of respect. It is a sign of awe. Awe. As they look at the one to whom they are not worthy to even look upon. In all of His glory. It is a sign of recognition, not only of His almighty power and glory and holiness, but of our unworthiness. We are not worthy. He makes us worthy as we are in Christ Jesus through salvation. As we are robed in the righteousness of Christ, we are told to come boldly before the throne of grace, but only because of Jesus Christ, our Savior. They are unworthy. They are us. To show respect and a sense of awe and a recognition of the unworthiness, our unworthiness, as we approach in worship the supreme and holy God of the universe. He is not just the man upstairs. He is God and God alone. He is holy, without sin, perfect, almighty in power, in wisdom and glory. Like the publican, the tax collector at the temple, who humbly would not lift up his head, but cried out to God, "Be merciful to me, a sinner," and went home justified in the sight of God. Like Isaiah, who was overcome with shame as he saw a similar vision in Isaiah 6, and cried, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am unclean. I am unholy. As I see the holiness of God, I realize I am nothing. He is everything." Do you ever get on your knees to pray anymore? Or is God not worth the effort? Are we too proud to bow down before Him? Now, I know for some of you, getting down on your knees is a relative impossibility. I understand that. And if I understand that, I'm sure God understands that. However, for us to whom it is not an impossibility, we ought to be on our knees maybe a little more than we are. We say, well, we get on knees in our heart. Well, that's true. That's where it starts. But true worship in the heart leads to what? It leads to actions that reflect it. Not only did they fall down before Him and crash their crowns at His feet, they lifted up their voices. They lifted up their voices and said, "Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord." They lifted up their voices in praise and in song. In Revelation 5:9, we read this. If you'll turn over one page if you need to. Revelation 5:9, this same group. It says here in verse 9, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals," speaking of Jesus Christ, "for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood, by Thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." What did they do? They praised Him in song and in testimony. They cried out and sang with a whole heart and with a full voice to the praise of the Lord, the God of heaven, for His marvelous works of creation and redemption. They are both the almighty work of God, for whom He deserves our wholehearted praise in word and in song. You say, well, Pastor, I don't sing. Well, you will. You will. Why not start now? You say, but I don't sing very well. That's okay. You're not singing to me. And you're not singing to the person in front of you. You're lifting up your voice in praise to the one who gave you the voice. So do what you can. Don't hold back. We won't up there. They offered a sacrifice of praise, which we will do in heaven throughout eternity, before the Lamb who sits upon the throne, our Lord and Redeemer, our King, and we will never tire of it. A sacrifice of praise, which we are commanded not only to give Him then, but also to give Him what? Also to give Him now. Praise God, there will be no clocks in heaven to tell us it's time to quit. We will not lack for things to say or sing in praise of Him who gave Himself to save us from everlasting ruin. What happened, in part, to some of us? What happened to humbling ourselves privately and publicly before the God of heaven in worship? What is wrong with lifting up our voices loudly and freely in praise? Is it wrong to sing out with a full heart? I noticed we have at least a couple people. When Steve Altman is here, he's the third one, who likes to lift up his hands when he sings. Now, I don't know, some of you may think that's a charismatic thing or something, I don't know. But I don't see anything wrong with it. It's just an expression of what? Worship. Now, if you start dancing around and doing a jig, well, we're a little different. Okay? But what's wrong with lifting up our hearts, our voice? Howbeit, if you feel your hands. I'm afraid our worship has become a bit stale. Not because we do not have a trap set on the platform. Not because we are not dancing a jig in the pews. Not because we do not fall out into the aisles and roll on the floor. No, those aren't, I believe, expressions of the worship that God desires. No, our worship has become a bit stale because we're not willing to humble ourselves. To forget about ourselves. To get caught up in the praise and exaltation of the Lord, our Redeemer and our Creator. It is not about me. It is not about you. It is all about who? It is all about Jesus. And one day it will all be about Jesus. And it should be today. And it should be now. We need to learn to humble ourselves. To forget about ourselves. And to look upon Jesus Christ, our Savior. We go through the motions, but so often we are proud and missing out on the reason, the opportunity we have been given to express with a full heart. It is not an action problem, it is a what? It is a heart problem that keeps us from getting on our knees at home to pray. That keeps us from singing out with a full heart to the Lord. That keeps us from ever walking an aisle We don't do a lot of that around here. Maybe it's because I don't twist your arm to try to get you to do it. Maybe I should be twisting just a little bit more. But if we never humble ourselves and let other people see it, we're missing out. They're missing out. More importantly, our Heavenly Father is missing out. Worship is humility. And I do believe we could be a bit more humble. Don't you? Number two. Secondly, we not only see their actions, but we also read about their what? Their words. Their words. They cried out, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." They cried out. They said that God alone who sits upon that throne is worthy of all their glory and the honor and the power, who is the source and creator of all things. Glory. He is worthy of all the glory. Well, what does that mean? He's worthy of all the credit. All the credit. Every praise. All the credit. For that which is good and beautiful and excellent and praiseworthy in this world. Because everything that is good comes from where? From above. It comes from the throne of God. It comes from heaven. He is worthy of not just part of the glory. He is worthy of all the glory. James 1:17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, from God. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He doesn't change. He is always good. He is always holy. He is always a God of love, mercy, grace, justice. He is a good God. Every good thing comes from Him. No one else is worthy of the glory for all that is good in this world but the one who made it, the one who has redeemed it to Himself by the death of His Son, who gave His all for it. Do not take the glory for yourself, which is due only your Creator and your Savior. He is worthy of that credit. Anything that good that happens here, give God the glory. Anything that's bad or fails, blame me. But if it's good, give God the glory. Because He deserves it. When we accomplish anything worthwhile or righteous in this world, we must not forget to give God the glory both publicly and privately. I know to some of you, this seems quite frivolous. But I don't think it's frivolous. If you watch a ball game on the TV, football game, basketball game, every now and then they will interview a player at the end of the game, usually on the winning side. And they'll interview the player, and usually they talk about, yes, our team is really good, and yes, we pulled together, and yes, we beat the other. They were all right, but yeah, we beat them, and yeah, we did this right and that right. But every now and then, when they interview the player, he will say, "Well, first, I want you to understand that it's because of the Lord in heaven. I give God the glory." Now you say, "Well, God doesn't care about ball games." Well, not particularly, but you know something? He does care about His what? His glory. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." God cares about His glory, and God cares, I believe, when somebody sincerely from their heart gives Him the praise for the smallest of things. I'm a Virginia Cavalier fan because I grew up about 3 hours from the University of Virginia, and so they're terrible at football. But they're good at basketball. And a couple of years ago, the coach, Tony Bennett, led them to a NCAA championship. The year before, they lost in the first round, though they were the best, the first seed overall. It was terribly humiliating. But the next year, they came back and they won it all. And you want to know who Tony Bennett gave the glory to? He gave it to God. Now, that shouldn't be the exception. That should be the what? That should be the rule. Because He is worthy of that glory. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That says it all, does it not? So when we come to church, let us not forget to share with others what He has done this week in our life. That is called fellowship. And when we come to church, let us sing about Him in song and testify of Him before others. We call this praise. And when we come to church, let us thank Him with bowed head and heart for all of His answers and what He will do tomorrow. We call this prayer. We are here to give Him glory. When you go home, you are there to give Him glory. And the highest honor, glory and honor, the highest honor, the greatest reverence. Colossians 1, 16 through 18. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. They continue to exist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. What does that mean? That means first place. That means the highest honor. He is worthy of that. God indeed is worthy of the place of highest regard and loftiest esteem in this world. The highest award should always be His. The greatest glory, the most respected place, the grandest pageantry, the highest praise, and the most exalted position. And if it isn't today, one day it will be. But in the hearts of His children and in this church, it should be. He who has the highest honor and who is the most exalted. One day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But for us who know Christ, that day should be today and every day. He is worthy of it from you. Now in our activities, our words, our thoughts, and our worship, it should be on display every Sunday in our public worship, but also every day in our private lives. He deserves all the glory, the highest honor, and all the power, sovereignty, and dominion, which in reality are already His. We just need to be about declaring and acknowledging that He is the sovereign one of the universe, that the dominion over this world is His, that it was created by His power, it is kept by His power. One day it will be made anew by His power. And we are His subjects. And He deserves our submission and our allegiance. So, we see their actions of worship. We see their words of worship. And in closing, Why did he create all things for which he should receive glory and worship? We're told here at the end of verse 11, let's read it again. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. He is worthy of all this because he's the maker. He is the potter and we are the what? Clay. It is our privilege to serve to his pleasure. And it is for his pleasure that he made you and he made me. It is for his pleasure that he made this earth. It is for his pleasure that he made those stars. Yes, they can bring us pleasure too. And he desires that also. But it was all made for his glory and pleasure. For his own good pleasure. Because it brought him pleasure. Because it pleased him. The word thelema in the Greek is what's translated pleasure here. The word thelema in Greek is most often translated will or desire. But here it is translated pleasure. And it can be, mean all three. Will, desire, and pleasure. Notice the phrase at the end in Greek. It says, for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now I know you can't read Greek, you don't have it there in front of you, so I'm not going to tell you what the words are. I'm going to tell you what they mean. The word are in Greek, the word translated are, for thy pleasure they are, that word is actually past tense in the Greek. Past tense with continuing action. It happened and it continues to what? To happen. Okay? The were, they are and were created, the were is past tense with completed action. It was happened in the past and it was completed. Thus emphasizing two very important things. In 6 days, God created the world, and on the seventh day, he what? He rested because it was completed. So he created the world in 6 days, thousands of years ago. He created this world, all that is, and particularly us, the apple of his eye, created in his own what? Image for his glory. But also, he continues to uphold all of that creation, second by second, minute by minute, day by day, hour by hour, year by year. He not only created it, but he sustains it. By him, all things consist. By him, all things continue. By his might and his power. Thus it came into existence only by the will and desire of who? God. He wanted it to be, he willed it to be, and so he spoke it into existence. Conversely, the redemption of mankind likewise is also an extension of his will and power over the hearts of fallen men to redeem them back to himself. We're not only created by the will of God and for his pleasure, we're also saved by the will and power of God and for his what? And for his pleasure. John 1, 11 through 13. He came unto his own. His own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of who? God. When we get to heaven and we lay the crowns at his feet, and as we should be worshiping him humbly today, we must acknowledge that all that we are and all that we have and all that will be in eternity future is all because of who? It's all because of him. He made us for his good pleasure. He saved us and redeemed us for his good pleasure. And it is our privilege and joy to give him pleasure in heaven for all eternity, as it should be now. It also continues to exist only by his pleasure, only at his pleasure, and by his power. If at any point God decided to destroy this world, it would only take a moment, and it could all be gone. It says in Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, speaking of Jesus, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us one day He will destroy this earth and make a new one. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. He created it, and one day He will command it to cease to exist, and it will all burn up. And He will create a new one where the redeemed, who He has brought to Himself and saved by the blood of the Lamb, will worship Him, as we read here, and particularly in Revelation 21 and 22. He created it for His pleasure. He sustains it at His pleasure. And He created you, you individually, you, me, for His pleasure. To bring Him pleasure, He allows our continued existence. He allows me to be here today, not to bring me glory, not to do my will, but to bring Him glory and to do what? And to do His pleasure. That's why I am allowed this privilege here today. None other. Which leads me to the closing of my message this morning and the introduction of my message next week. Are you bringing God pleasure? Are you bringing Him pleasure in your humility, in your worship, in your prayers, in your service, in your words, and your actions? Do you not recognize that we are here, that we exist for the purpose of bringing Him pleasure? I hope you will remember that this week. But first you must understand, you cannot please Him at all except by what? By faith. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. And you must recognize that there's no pleasing Him apart from something called repentance and faith. In 2 Peter 3:9, it tells us why God has not yet destroyed this earth, because He is a God of mercy and grace. And He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Today is the day of salvation. Today is your opportunity. If you've never trusted Christ, don't pass this day up, because you may not have another. If you are living for your glory and your pleasure alone, you will not bow the knee before the God of heaven. One day you will, but it may be too late. He created you to give Him pleasure. Would you allow Him the pleasure of saving your soul today? He went through a whole lot to give you this opportunity. There is no pleasing or bringing pleasure to our Creator if we do not repent of our sin and accept His Son as our Lord and Savior. There is only judgment awaiting those who reject His offer and refuse to bow the knee. And Christian, are you living to give Him pleasure? Are you a humble worshiper of God, or are you a proud worshiper of self? Are you living for His glory or for your own? Do you need to get on your knees before Him today and talk to Him about it? I'm going to make it easy. I'm going to ask you to do something that'll make it easy if the Lord has spoken to your heart to get on your knees and talk to Him about it today, and that's this. I'm going to ask you, if you can, where you are, to get on your knees. We're going to close. We're going to pray in just a moment. And if it's possible, and for some of you it isn't, I understand, to get on your knees and go to the Lord in prayer, I'd like for us to do that this morning. If you need to get out of the pew and come up here where you have more room, that's fine, whatever the case may be. If you need to just stay seated where you are and bow your head, God understands. But I'd like for us to all pray together today and on our knees, if we can, to bow before the God of heaven and worship Him. I'm going to come down here and get on my knees. If you can follow suit where you are, I'd appreciate it, but more importantly, God. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before You this morning, we acknowledge that You are our Creator and God. You made us for Your own good pleasure. Lord, I pray that You would forgive us of our selfishness and of our pride, that You would strip those things away, that as we come to You to pray daily and as we come to You here to worship, that we would forget about ourselves and we would remember our Savior who gave Himself for us. And Lord, that we would give You all the glory and honor and power that You are due, that others would see our good works, would hear our voices lifted in song and praise of our Savior, and that You would be exalted, and that You might draw all men to Yourself. Lord, I pray that in this place, a humble heart of humility and worship would be clearly seen, and that Christ would be exalted in our midst every week, that as we leave this place, You would be seen in our lives as we go out into public, that we would share the good news of the gospel, that we would share the love of Jesus Christ, that we would represent You who is worthy and who is worthy to receive pleasure and glory from those He has created. And Lord, we do pray this morning, if there is one who's never trusted Christ as Savior, that as we sing this hymn of invitation at the moment, to the glory of God they would come and receive Jesus Christ as Lord of their life. And Lord, I pray further, if there's others, Lord, here to You, to whom You have spoken, that need to come up here and pray, that they would come as well. I would love to pray with them. For Your glory and honor, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Creator and Savior and Redeemer, we pray.